Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio with you. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Fred. How are you this morning?
I am doing well on this Friday afternoon.
That's right.
And it's going to be a nice day, I hope.
Now, I'm going to pull you back into the real world because still in Friday morning, Fred.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are, but, you know, it's still a great day.
It's a wonderful day, beautiful sunshine out there, and after all that storm that we had yesterday, it's especially delightful.
Yeah, that was some storm, that's for sure.
Yeah, all right. We've got a special guest this morning.
We absolutely do, and I want to talk a little bit about who our guest is here in just a little bit, but I want to take a minute and tell everyone again about our website, about pftradio.com. That's Planning for Tomorrow Radio, pftradio.com. And, you know, we've had that website up now. Next month will be 2 years, I believe, that website has been up, and close to 100,000 unique visitors in that site. So we know that we're doing something right, that we're providing some great information to the tri-state. So tickled to death to be seeing that website do so well.
It's a very good website.
It is. There's a lot of information there that you can download that are helpful files, like PDF files and audio files of our show, podcasts of our shows on there also. So a lot of great information on there. Gene, before we get into it, if anyone has any questions today about some of the subject we're going to be talking about, how could they get a hold of us?
Well, you can call us right here in the studio at 304-399-8255, or there's a long-distance toll-free number, which is 1-877-420-8255. Feel free to call us anytime, and we'll be glad to take your calls, especially with such an interesting guest that we have this morning.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about our guest. Well, we won't talk about him, but we'll... But
you can if you want.
We'll introduce him. How's that? Our guest today, Gene, is Terry Holley, and Terry is the director of pastoral care and counseling at Cabell Huntington Hospital, and he is also an ordained minister. And Terry, good morning. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Gene.
Nice to meet you, Fred. Nice to meet you, Fred.
And
nice to meet you, Terry. I think we're going to get it right eventually this morning.
I wouldn't worry about it.
As Fred said, it may take us till this afternoon to get it right.
Well, that's right.
I told you Friday was done, and you said it was early. Terry, it's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thanks, Fred.
I think you've got a lot of information that you can share to a lot of our listeners today that's going to be helpful, and we appreciate you coming in and talking to us. Tell us just a little bit about what you do at Cabell Huntington Hospital.
Yeah, what is pastoral care?
Pastoral care is an interest in spirituality of all people. We service people no matter what their faith denomination is or whether they have a faith denomination or not. One of the things with everyone has a spiritual aspect in their life.
Right.
It may not be Christianity, it may not be religion, but they do have a spiritual aspect, and it's personally defined. And therefore, when they come into the hospital, change is very unsettling to people when they're sick, dying, family members in distress, and we simply try to come alongside them to help them find inside of their own faith, whatever it may be, and provide the support that they need during this difficult time.
And as you say, not everyone has a belief in a particular religion, but they have a spiritual side. And usually if there's a family member in the hospital or if they themselves are a patient, they need some comfort.
That's true. And our desire is to support and comfort all people, no matter what background they come from. We try to bring them hope in the midst of this change that's occurring in their life. We try to stir optimism. We try to lift them out of the burden of the tension of the moment. It's distressing. It's trying. Anytime that you're in the hospital, there's always that uncertainty of what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're under that stress, you don't really hear everything that the physician's saying, And we try to reinforce that message to the patients so they can know exactly what's going on in their life.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've said many times, and I think it rings true with what you're saying there, is, and I'm talking about it from an end-of-life perspective, being a funeral director, but I've said many times, you know, when people come to the end of life's journey, faith and family are the two most important things to them. And sometimes, you know, when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about any denomination. We're just talking about people that may not have been actively involved in church. They tend to want to respond to people like you guys, the pastoral care that would come around, because, you know, those are some tough times.
We try our very best to weave together the hospital experience with their life experience. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we do it by focused listening and active listening. And we try to help the patient and family clarify issues that they may have during that period of time. Yes, if we're asked, we do pray, and we have that side with the patient. But that's not always what they need at that time.
Sometimes just a counseling role, right?
Just, you know, one of the hardest things for me, Fred, to learn when I became a chaplain was I was a doer. I felt like I had to do or rescue someone. And a lot of times it's simply just being there.
Listening.
Listening for someone to hold your hand, to be there with you during the absence of your family. Because we get patients at Cabell Huntington from southern West Virginia, southeast Ohio, and eastern Kentucky, and a lot of times it's inconvenient for families to be there all the time. So we take the opportunity not to be a substitute for their family, but to come alongside the patient and be there for them.
Yeah, I think it's great that we have this available in our community, and I think a lot of people don't even realize that sometimes the hospitals even have this service even available to them until they're in there.
That's right.
And you know, in thinking about your service, you know, it's not necessarily just something if somebody's dealing with, you know, an imminent death or something like that. We're talking about people that just have surgeries or just are in there for whatever procedures or sickness. You guys are there for them.
We are, and we provide a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service at Cabell Huntington for our patients, for our family, and for our staff. Mm. You know, we're there to support all three. It's very trying not only for the patient and their family, but also for the staff that cares for them, because they come sometimes become very attached to their patients, and as they leave or as there may be death, it's a very traumatic experience not only for the families, but also sometimes for our staff.
Right, and this is a whole center. It's not just you. You head the center, the pastoral care center at Cabell Huntington, and Cabell Huntington has a big patient load. So how do you get around? I mean, do you wait till someone says, well, I'd like to see a counselor, or do you go into the different departments? How does this work?
We have a system, Gene, that we have a 300-bed hospital, which is significant, and we have a system that we can be sent a paper consult from a nurse, from a doctor, from the request of a family member, or we carry a phone with us 24/7, and a nurse, family member, the patient themselves can just give us a call and request us to come. Anytime, we're a level 2 trauma center. So we get traumas from all over the tri-state area, and any time that we have a trauma come in, it's an automatic consult. So we have a broad mechanism of how we find patients. And also, the other thing, as we visit, if we feel the need is there for a continuation, we will make note of that and continue to visit that patient on a daily basis.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot to cover
is.
There.
How many employees do you guys have in your group, or would you say that are, we'll say not necessarily employees, but pastoral care people and counselors that are part of what you guys do?
Well, in the hospital itself, I have 6 chaplains besides myself.
Okay.
I perform a dual role. Of course, I do the administrative side, but I'm fortunate enough to also have the opportunity to visit with patients still, which I really enjoy.
Right.
So I have 6 other chaplains that assist me in making that happen. And then also across the street from the hospital in the Fairfield building, which is located at 1616 13th Avenue, I have a counseling center.
Oh, wow.
Where I have 6 licensed practicing counselors and a licensed psychologist to not only meet the needs of our staff, but also we provide outpatient service for the tri-state community. And I think we're one of the hidden gems in the tri-state In the fact that a lot of people don't know that we do outpatient services.
Right, so you don't have to be a patient in the hospital in order to take part in this counseling service.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, Jean, the counselors in my counseling center don't actively see patients in the hospital.
I see.
Most of their work is done with either our employees, mm-hmm. which I think constitutes about 39% of our business, mm-hmm. And also the general public.
Yeah.
And, you know, I may be a little biased, but I think I have the best counseling center in the tri-state area.
Well, of course
and
you
that's
do.
That's all right.
And the other side of that is that all of my counselors are faith-based. It doesn't mean that we push faith on our clients, but mm-hmm. if they want to use that as part of their treatment, it's available to them.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Hey, Gene, I think we need to take just a quick break if we could.
Okay.
When we come back, Terry, I want to talk just a little bit more about the counseling center there because, like you said, I think that's a hidden gem. I think people need to be aware of it, that it's available to them. And because, you know, that's one of the reasons we have the show here is to kind of show off
to
all the
people.
Things that, to help people and to yeah. show people what we have available in our tri-state.
Exactly.
So when we come back, Terry, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean in the Kindred Communication Studios in beautiful downtown Huntington, West Virginia.
555 Fifth Avenue.
That's right. That's right. In the studio with us today, we have Terry Holly. And Terry, when we left, we were talking about, we talked about a good bit of things, but we were talking about the Counseling Center, one of the hidden gems that we have here in the community that's a part of Cabell Huntington Hospital. Let's talk a little bit more about that just a little bit, and then we'll shift into another direction. There.
Okay. Fred, Gene, I read something not too long ago. I guess it's unfortunate for the community, but fortunate for our counseling center, that the tri-state area is in the top four of emotional difficulties.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we see the need as very significant. And our counseling center started several years ago with four counselors. And we tried to meet the need mostly of our staff, and also it was based in the hospital, so when people would come in from the outside, they felt maybe a little uncomfortable mm-hmm. Because, you know, this is a very private issue. People seem to have a stigma about mental health, whereas they may not about cardiac health
right.
or something like that.
Yeah. So they were concerned about people who might see them
yeah.
going in. That
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
And you know, saying yeah. things like, "Gee, they must be crazy. Wonder yeah. what's going on within their yeah. life." And so we felt it necessary to move it outside the hospital, which we did to the Fairfield building. And in the last 3 years, we've grown significantly. Like I said, we have six licensed counselors and a psychologist. And we're able to provide a broad range of services to our clientele, from marriage to family to individual counseling. And also, Charlie, my psychologist, can test for IQ and Asperger's and
oh, wow.
many things
mm-hmm.
like that mm-hmm. To help facilitate a good life for children. Mm-hmm. And so we have enhanced our services over the years, and I really feel strongly about I have quality people there, people that care very much about the clients that they serve and really become a part of their life to help them move past these difficulties
right.
in their life.
Are these counselors at the freestanding in the Fairfield building, are they the same who work with you in the pastoral care, the same people?
No, they're not, Jean.
Okay.
They are different individuals. They do basically 5 days a week counseling services for anyone that would be interested in that.
Okay, whereas the pastoral care is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Inside the hospital.
Inside the hospital,
Which the chaplains provide for the family staff and
okay.
our patients.
Yeah.
So we have chaplains on one side and we mm-hmm. have counselors on the other
okay.
side.
Okay.
But we all fall under the same pastoral care department at
uh-huh.
the hospital.
Yeah. Well, that's really grown from what it started out as a few years
it
ago.
It has, and I think yeah. if the statement I made at the beginning of our conversation is correct, you can see why not only probably our counseling center, but other mm-hmm. counseling centers mm-hmm. have grown significantly here in the tri-state.
That's true.
That's amazing.
Because it's needed.
Yeah, and say that one more time. Top four emotional, our area?
The tri-state area is in the top four in emotional needs in the United States.
You know, that's something to think about, really.
That's a little scary.
That is a little scary.
Well, I think if you take into consideration what's happened in the tri-state area, as well as the rest of the country, with plants closing and people without jobs and what are we going to do, very trying emotionally.
Right.
And what we try to do also is to try to help people move past the stigma of, you know, a lot of people still have the stigma that emotional illness is different.
Something to be ashamed of.
Absolutely. And so we try to help them move past that so they can receive the healing that they need, much like we would if we broke a leg and went into the hospital.
Right. And you know, Fred, although I said it's a little scary, on the other hand, the fact that we're fourth in the United States with this problem, maybe that also means that we're more willing to come forward and seek help.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very important part to think about right there. I mean, I never thought about it, but with coal mines closing, with a lot of plants closing, I mean, that does, that shifts something within us a lot of times that creates this difficulty of wondering how we're going to even make it, and I can see that.
Huntington, it's not just Cabell County. I mean, as you said, it's tri-state, Eastern Kentucky, and of course over in Ohio as well.
But also in conjunction with our chaplain service in the hospital, it gives us a mechanism for people that may be grieving over a death, or when a person has the loss of a limb or something, it's a significant life-changing event.
Right.
And so if they're from the immediate area, we have a resource within our own department that we can offer additional help, additional counseling to help these people move from a sense of distress into a sense of where they can live life and feel very good about themselves.
Right. Right. Let's talk a little bit about the end of life, kind of make a little bit of a shift there. You know, you guys deal with that on a daily basis, whether it's in the pastoral care segment of this, probably, also the counseling center, correct?
We do. We deal with it probably more so in the pastoral care in the hospital,
right,
because we come alongside families during those difficult times when they're making decisions about end of life, making their family member comfort care, or simply the grieving process and the shock and the dismay and the denial of what's just happened in their life. So it is an important aspect of what we do in ministering to people.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we answer all the traumas that come into the emergency room, as I said before, and we are the go-between the family's physician to let them know what's going on. And so often I'll walk into the waiting area to meet the family and introduce myself, and you can almost see the caller leave their face because they're afraid their loved one has died.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
I can see that.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
And so we are fortunate and privileged enough to be able to come alongside these families and support them and to be with them during the difficult time. If you've had any hospital experience at all, you know that when you come in, a loved one's in our emergency room, and we have to do this and we have to do that, it seems like forever before you can see them.
Yeah.
And that family needs some comfort,
support,
and some communication to saying, okay, this is what's going on, we're doing okay, and so on and so forth. And so we're privileged not only at end of life, Fred, but also during any illness that comes into our hospital to provide that kind of care.
So you guys are basically, you can go back a lot of times and gather a little bit of information to maybe bring back out to the family that kind of shares a little bit of comfort sometimes.
Yeah. Not only can we do that, but a lot of times we talk to the family and obtain information to take back to the physician, such as existing medical conditions or medications they may be on, especially in an emergent case when they come into the emergency room, and we simply have to go to work and don't have time to ask questions. We also are able to do that for our physicians,
exactly. A couple of years ago, when my husband was in ICU, the pastoral care director at that time came around. At least I think he was the director, but maybe he wasn't. Anyway, he came around, and then later on we had a visit from a lady who was with the counseling center, with the pastoral care center, I should say. And that kind of raises a question in my mind, is that you have women in the pastoral care as well as men, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
I'm fortunate to have, let me just think for a minute, Two female chaplains.
Okay.
And then also, with the exception of Charlie over my counseling center, they're all females.
Oh,
and
okay.
So he's a little outnumbered over the counseling center. When they vote on lunch, he doesn't get much say.
Yeah. So. I'm always looking out for the women's side.
I'm telling
of this.
You, Gene.
So you'd be happy, Gene, with our counseling center because, and the coordinator, my coordinator over there is also female. So Charlie keeps saying I need to hire another male over there, and I'm not sure that I can.
Hey, let's mention briefly here, and maybe when we come back from break here in a little bit, we can talk more about it in detail, but advanced directives, this is something that, are you actually involved with this with a family sometimes?
We are, and I think it's one of the most important things that a family can do, or a loved one can do for their family. Especially, it's not so much the paper, but also the conversation that needs to take place with that paper. Yeah. So when the time comes and the person's trying to make a decision for their loved one, they've had a conversation and know exactly what their loved one may or may not want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you find a lot of times that the term advanced directives may be a little complicated for people to understand? Let's talk about what that is.
Okay.
So they know what, that is. Because, to us, we know what advanced directives are, but to somebody listening that may not know and probably has never had it written down, filled the document out, what are we talking about?
Well, we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that when we come back. I want to get it back into advanced directives a little bit and some other things that we can talk about. And then at the end of the show, we've got some really neat stuff we want to talk about also. So, Terry, great having you along with us. Our guest today is Terry Holly. He's the Director of Pastoral Care and Counseling and an ordained minister at Cabell Huntington Hospital. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
And we are back with Planning for Tomorrow with Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean. And our guest this morning is Reverend Terry Holly, who is the director of the Cabell Huntington Hospital Pastoral Counseling Center. And it's good to have you here in the studio this morning, Terry.
Thanks Gene. I think we lost Fred.
Well, he'll resurface, I feel sure. But in the meantime, I have a question for you, because most people know that Cabell Huntington Hospital is going to be a separate children's hospital. Of course, they already treat children, but when there are children who are in distress, do you work with the parents? Do you have direct contact with the children? Tell me about your children's work.
Well, we do, and as you said, Gene, we're developing our children's hospital, which will actually be a hospital within a hospital. It'll encompass the whole fifth floor. It'll have its own entrance out on Hal Greer Boulevard for people to go directly there. But right now, yes, we have a neonatal intensive care, a pediatric intensive care, and, of course, a regular peds floor.
Mm. Will that all be part of the children's hospital?
It will
then
continue to be a part of that hospital.
Okay.
We are bringing in pediatric specialists to meet the needs that we will have when the new hospital opens.
Uh-huh.
And as part of that, yes, we already have interaction with families that have children in our hospital that are ill.
Right.
Or have been in an accident or so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So not only are we there, to bring comfort to the child, but also it's a very distressing time for the parents.
Oh, especially for the parents, yes.
Especially as we talked about the community in which we serve, being a long way from home, you're not sure about what's going on with their child, and so on and so forth. So we do interact quite a bit with that.
Right.
When I came 5 years ago, the first day that I was there, I interacted with a family that we had a bad accident up around on Route 2. Not surprising on Route 2.
Mm-hmm.
Two children and the husband came. The mother was killed on the scene, and the six-year-old died later in the hospital. And so from the very get-go, we've had been exposed, and my chaplains on a daily basis are exposed to the need for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are doing a couple of things. I'm working in conjunction with Vern McNear, the director of the education, clinical pastoral education at St. Mary's, and we are going to be co-hosting a workshop possibly at Stonewall in September to talk about how to deal with children. I probably will, in the future, will also be looking for someone that specializes in children's ministry on my staff to make sure that we provide the utmost care for those families.
I want to ask you a question. I know Fred's dying to leap in here, but
go right ahead. Go right ahead.
On a daily basis, your counselors are seeing people who are in distress. Who helps the helpers? I mean, do you get into a burnout situation sometimes?
Often we do. One of the things that we are trained to do is to use each other to process events on a regular basis. When we have change shifts as chaplains, we will sit down, and if someone's had a terrible event during the day or a bad week, we will begin to sit down and process not only the event, but also what feelings they are going through. And that's one of the things that people don't understand, that we are trained for anywhere from 400 to 1,600 hours in dealing with our own emotions so that we don't inject them into the patient's condition and use our own story to help them, but also to help us recognize what's going on inside of us so that we not only can care for them, but we can also care for ourselves.
Okay.
Well,
and
that's where the counseling center, it sounds like, comes in also for a lot of your own staff. What did you say, 39% of those
are employees.
Are employees that are using the counseling center. So,
But also my counselors do the same thing. They bounce things off of each other each day. So we've got counselors doing counseling for my counselors.
Yeah.
So it works out really well.
What's neat, and you brought up a good point there about not interjecting our own stories into things. I mean, you know, one of the things when someone experiences loss or is going through something traumatic, the last thing they want to hear is what happened to us.
Exactly.
You know, really. You know, I mean, you know, and that's one of the things that we want to do. I guess it's our comfort. We go to what we're comfortable with or what we have knowledge about, and we want to tell them about our experience that maybe we had. When in fact, you know, when we've had a loss or we're going through something where somebody's in the ER and we don't know which way that's going to go, the last thing we want to hear is what happened to your grandpa, you know, 20 years ago. You know,
you need to be a listener rather than
you've got to be a listener. Yeah.
But regardless of if we have a similar incident in our life, such as maybe a heart attack, the way that you react and the way that I react and the way that we respond is totally different,
right?
Even though the event may be very similar. So, you know, bringing my story into your story is not very helpful, because when people are there, they have three basic needs. They want to be restored to health is first and foremost on their mind. They want to feel like they're cared for, and they want to be reassured. And sometimes this is a difficult thing, that everything's going to be okay, because sometimes things aren't going to be okay. But those three basic needs are there for everyone, and your story and Gene's story may is totally different from me, even if we have the same event occur in our lives.
Right. Different experiences. You know, before we left for break a little while ago, we were talking a little bit about advanced directives also, and I want to get back into that, because we've talked a lot about this show about what the pastoral care and what the counselors can do to help people. But what can people do to help themselves prior to a life event, a major life event that, you know, that I think we need to talk about that a little bit. And when I'm going that direction and talking in that vein of what we can do to help ourselves, I'm talking about advanced directives. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys do to help people with advanced directives. Let's talk about what advanced directives are a little bit, because there's some people that's going to listen to that and go,
what is it?
What is it? We've talked about it before on the show many times, but you know, we have a vast audience that changes, and so let's talk a little bit about what you guys do and what people can do to be better prepared themselves before they come into the hospital.
Well, I think Jean can attest to this, as she shared with us the loss of her husband just a few years. That's it's a very difficult time in people's life. I've been with many families that the doctor will come and talk to them and tell them exactly what's going on, but when they become stressed, they become tunnel visioned, and they selectively hear what they want to hear. And I've heard physicians tell me, I've told that family this five or six times. Well, in the stages of grief that they may be going through, they don't hear this.
Right.
End of life is a very difficult time, even though it is a very natural part of life.
Of course.
And one of the things we talked about is advanced directives, and there's two aspects to advanced directives. There is called the medical power of attorney. which is a person names someone to make decisions for them mm-hmm. in case they are incapacitated for a short period of time. And then also there is the living will. And that term sometimes scares people.
It does. You know, when you say living will, sometimes all people hear, they never hear the word living, they hear will.
They just hear will. You're exactly
and they're like,
right.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I got to see an attorney for this?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Right. But you know, Terry is so right when he talks about your hearing gets to be selective when you're, you know,
sure
you're
does.
Worried, you're concerned. And I remember saying to a doctor, I'm really not hearing and understanding everything that you're saying. My son is an RN in Cincinnati. When he gets here, will you tell him everything? Because he'll understand it and he'll know what's going on.
But inside the living will, which is a little different than the medical power of attorney, even though the medical power of attorney will still be making the decisions, is the opportunity for a family member to sit down with their family and discuss exactly what they want and what they don't at end of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's two conditions inside the living will. One is that you have a terminal illness with incapacity. The other one is that you're going to remain in a persistent vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two conditions that have to be met inside the living will. And inside that, you have the opportunity to say, you know, I simply want to die with dignity. Therefore, I do not want this, I want that, and so on and so forth. But, you know, Fred and Gene, the most important part of advanced directives is not the paper. It's the setting down with your family as you prepare these.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the best gift that you can give your family because at end of life, you can simply say, it's not me doing this. I'm doing exactly what mom or dad or whoever the relative may be
Absolutely.
Wanted me to do for them.
Yeah, it takes care of all that responsibility, and which could turn in later on to guilt.
Absolutely, and I've seen it provide a great deal of comfort mm-hmm. in knowing that, you know, it's always been good for us to know that we please our parents and do what what they ask us to do.
Yeah.
And so why isn't that the case if we have an end-of-life situation?
Yeah.
We've sat down with the family
Absolutely.
Member. We've had the discussion. They know exactly what we want and what we don't want.
But Fred, you know, although people may realize that they need to make a living will,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to do it.
They don't know how to do it a lot of times. And that was one of the things I was going to mention. You know, when they're in a hospital setting and an emergency setting, that's the worst time to be, but you're going to have to be forced to do it at that point. There's going to have to be some decisions made, and it's just the way it is. So it just makes all the sense in the world to sit down with a family member before the need ever arises. Have this done in advance. That way, everybody think about what this puts a family member into. I become incapacitated for some reason, and I didn't have a living will or medical power of attorney. That's forced my wife to have to make some decisions and go, you know what, I think this is what Fred would have wanted. I hope it is. I hope I'm making the right decision. Mm-hmm. And that amount of stress and burden that we place on someone at that point is enormous. So it's good to do that. And, you know, that Gene, that kind of ties in with, you know, definitely the advanced directives that you do there at the hospital, Terry, is something that people can actually do. And they can do that in advance also. They don't have to actually
wait
till they're in
the
hospital.
They can do that in advance. And also we offer the services through our formerly social services service to come to the room and help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I want to mention this real quick. We do have the Five Wishes Living Will Medical Power of Attorney document that we've been offering at Henson Mortuary for some time.
That is so useful.
Right. I think we've given out a little over 1,500 copies of this now,
really?
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone would like to get one of these, I tell you, it really does you good to sit down with a family member. When I sit down and actually filled this out, it made me kind of start thinking, oh my gosh, this is really what I want, you know.
Yeah,
so it gets you thinking a little bit. But if anybody would like to have those are available. I want to take just a quick break
They are free of charge.
They are free of charge, and we'll even notarize them for free for you also. Mm-hmm. I want to take just a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap some things up with Terry Holly here. And you're listening to Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean here in the Kinder Communication Studios, Super Talk Radio here in Huntington, West Virginia.
And time goes quickly, doesn't it?
Time goes quick.
We're almost up to the top of the hour.
Time is ticking away. you know, our guest today has been Terry Holly, and he is the Director of Pastoral Care and Counseling at Cabell-Huntington Hospital. And we've been talking about a lot of things, and hopefully had some interesting information for people today. But, you know, Terry, one of the things that you and I, the three of us talked about a little while ago was the a way that people could electronically also register it here in West Virginia, we know, advanced directives. And let's talk a little bit about that.
There is a website, and it's sponsored by the West Virginia End of Life, and I think that's where you can go online to register. It's supported out of WVU Hospital. And you can go and actually electronically register your living will and your medical power of attorney. So if you'd happen to be in an accident, they can simply go to that website and pull up your advanced directive so they can have it at whatever facility you may be treating.
It's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. So it would definitely check that out, the West Virginia End of Life website. We don't know what that website is right off the top of our head, do we?
West Virginia End of Life.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, there you go.
org.org.com. Yeah, I'm sure if you put Virginia End of Life, you'll pull it up
in Google, yeah. Okay, we'll be fine there. You know, the Five Wishes document is available. Anyone would like to have that, that's available free at Henson Mortuary. And like Gene and I was talking, this document is an easy read. It's one of those things that kind of gives you a question and answer. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that would really be a great opportunity for you to sit down with a loved one and actually go through these together. That way everybody kind of understands, you know, what you want. Anything you agree with, you just kind of circle anything or check a box. Anything you disagree with, you strike a line through. And it's a great tool to have. One of the things, you know, when I've done workshops talking about the five wishes, the living will, medical power of attorney, I've said, hey, we need to make sure that you have one of these documents. Your family has one, your physician has one. But you brought up a good point, Terry, where another one of these documents should be kept. And you said the glove box of
the
your
glove
car.
Box. Being a former policeman, I know where policemen and EMS search for information.
Right.
And it's usually the glove box, registration card, whatever. And if EMS is in your glove box and sees a living will or medical power of attorney, they'll pick it up and bring it to the hospital with
that's
you.
Great.
So we will know your wishes the minute that you come in the door.
So see, that's
Fred
a good
is a Terry is a remarkable man. He's been a police officer, a minister. He's in charge of the Postal Care Center. You're an amazing man.
Yeah, I can't stay anywhere for a long period of time, James, what the problem is.
He's allergic to kryptonite, too,
yes,
so I don't know what that says.
Yeah.
Terry, I want to take just a few minutes here towards the end of our show and talk about something that's pretty special going on at Cabell Huntington Hospital. We're talking about the Children's Hospital that we're going to be so blessed to have in our area. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I think that's true, Fred, in the fact that we are going to be able to supply the needs of children where now a lot of times we have to send them to Cincinnati or Columbus and inconvenience the family by being away from home.
Mm-hmm.
In this area, you know that usually when you have, especially a child, come to the hospital, you have relatives and friends and so on and so forth that come to support, to love, and they're not afforded that opportunity if they're 150 miles away. So we are very fortunate that the community has come alongside of us and been very generous to help us in this venture. And couple of things that are happening. We are sponsoring a children's golf classic on September the 9th at Sugarwood Golf Course. And all the money, all the proceeds there will go toward the Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's a good fundraiser.
Yeah.
So it's a good day of fun. And also an opportunity for maybe some of our business people in our community is that we now have blankets with the Hoops Children's Hospital logo on it that they can be purchased as a method of support from businesses for $10 a piece. And as you support, we also put the business logo on that blanket for them. And every child that leaves our hospital will take that blanket home for a lifetime.
Mm.
And so it gives us the opportunity to allow the families to remember how well they were cared for at Cabell Huntington, but also help support not only our children's hospital, but the community in which we serve.
Is that a blanket that's basically given to them when they come in the hospital and they basically use that the whole time?
They use it the whole time.
Okay.
It's very soft. It's very comfortable.
Okay.
And it's something that they can take home and not only use at home, but later in life when they grow out, that's particular size,
wow.
They can have it as a memorabilia of how well they were treated at Cabell.
Very nice, very nice.
I have to tell you here, Ernie is always on the ball, our producer Ernie Anderson, because he's got the he has the correct website. It's WV End of Life, all one word, wvendoflife.org.
Aha.
So thank you, Ernie.
Thank you, Ernie.
And if I might say, Fred, just in conjunction with this snippet for our Children's Hospital, if anyone would like more information about that, they can call Velma Workman at our hospital. Okay. And that number is 304-526-6314. And Velma would be happy to give you any information that you might want and how you can be a part of supporting the Hoops Family Hospital, Children's Hospital at Cabell Huntington Hospital.
Okay. There's one other little thing, Fred, that you'd mentioned. I think we were not on the air at the time, but it sort of intrigued me when we were talking about the Children's Hospital, talking about Hugs of Hope and teddy bears.
Yeah, you know, that's something that my wife and I kind of got involved with about 3 years ago, and we started it here, a local charity for our area, and it's called Hugs of Hope. A lot of churches and a lot of groups have really got involved and got behind us on this to support us. But what we basically do, we take donations. We started out taking teddy bears, but when we're going into hospital settings and hospice settings and things like that, we need to have brand new teddy bears. So what we do, we found a supplier in New York that could provide us with rainbow color teddy bears, all different type of color teddy bears, for $5 each. So what we do, we raise funds for these teddy bears, and then we give them to the children's unit, like at Cabell Huntington Hospital, which we've done several times. Hospice keeps them. The nurses are able to give those out to children who are experiencing loss and troubling times. Our fire departments keep them. That way our firemen can give them if there's children that are on a scene where something is traumatic going on, child protective services, on and on and on. So this has been something that has grown and continuing to grow, and we want to make people aware that it's available. It's Hugs of Hope.
It's a wonderful program.
It is.
It really
is. It is. If you'd like to get involved, I mean, you can definitely, I think we've got something on our pftradio.com website about Hugs of Hope, but also you can call us at Henson Mortuary at 304-736-8986 if you'd like to get involved with Hugs of Hope. As a matter of fact, we've got a teddy bear party coming up here before long with a lot of the ladies that are wanting to be involved as far as wrapping these and getting them ready to go to the hospitals and things like that. So it's
a
very
lovely
neat thing.
Idea and very comforting, I'm
it
sure.
Is. It yeah, is. It's very rewarding. You know, it's something that maybe I'm not involved with on the front lines, because all we're doing is raising the funds, purchasing the teddy bears, and making sure they get in the right hands of the people on the front lines who are giving these to those children. So if you'd like to get involved, love to have your support.
Absolutely. Great idea.
Terry, you have been an incredible guest today. We really appreciate you being with us. And is there anything that you would like to wrap up with that you think would be just that nugget of information that people really need to have, or anything you want to talk about the Children's Hospital anymore or Cabell?
Well, I thank you all for having me this morning. It's been a privilege. And my staff and I and everyone at Cabell Huntington Hospital count it as a privilege to serve this community. We are here to meet the needs of people. Christ himself said, I was sick and you visited me.
Right.
And therefore, that's what we want to do. We want to be there and help people not to utilize our services at the hospital and not be shy about asking us for
exactly.
support.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, our guest today has been Terry Holly. He is the Director of Pastoral Care and Counseling at Cabell Huntington Hospital. And Gene, another great show in the books.
Absolutely, and you'll be back with us in a couple of weeks.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow. Be sure to check out our pftradio.com website. A lot of great information. The podcast of today will also be up on that website. So if there's anybody that would like to get involved with the Hugs of Hope, the teddy bears, love to have your support. We help a lot of children in our area with those. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us, Jane.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a Kindred communication station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.